Hey everyone, how's it going? How's everyone doing today? Welcome to a Supplies live stream. I guess this would be now episode 92 of the podcast, if we're counting. It's been 92. So 5 years in the making. How is everyone doing today? All right. So I have this surprise live stream. I wanted to respond. I was thinking about whether I should do like an edited response to this video, or just come on and just do it live. So I have an interesting clip here from the Fresh and Fit podcast, and and I'm going to respond to it. So what we have here is we have two guys, actually three guys, talking, and it's the Fresh and Fit podcast. If you don't know, it's like I guess you can call it a red pill podcast. It's all about being a man and all that stuff. So hey Brian, how's it going? Nice to see you again. So there's this podcast. It's called the Fresh and Fit podcast. It's a big podcast, and it's all about being a man and stuff like that. So there's a clip from it that's been going around all over the place. Has to do with Islam. So they have Andrew Tate, who is a boxer, and they somehow ended up talking about Islam. So it should be interesting. They're basically praising Islam, all three of them, non-Muslims. One of them comes from, he said, I come from a Muslim family, so I guess he's Muslim. The other two are not Muslim, so they're basically going on about how Islam is great. So I thought it'd be interesting. So what else is going on? Before I get started with that, we'll just wait for a few more people to show up for this unannounced live stream. What else is going on? Well, the weather's good. Things are opening up. There was an anti-masking party at the park where I went, which is kind of cool. Not really anti-masking, anti-lockdown. So they had like all sorts of snacks and stuff for the kids. That was fun. Cotton candy, face painting. I felt kind of funny being there because I'm definitely not against lockdowns. I think they have the place, but yeah, it was like in the middle of a anti-lockdown party, which is kind of interesting. These guys are not religious. These people I'm about to respond to, they're not at all religious. It's not a religious channel in any sense, which is why it's interesting that they're talking about Islam. What is the connection between Islam and women's rights and red pill, or this male focus movement? Well, apparently, yeah, Fresh and Fit, yeah. So apparently the connection is that Islam actually takes away a lot of things from women, and this is actually a good thing for them. So we're gonna see why they like it. I have Fresh and Fit here. Let me just share my screen, and let me know if you have any problem hearing it. So I'm going to share the screen, the sound as well. Hopefully you can hear it. Let me know in the comments if you have any problem listening to this.
My parents are from Sudan. Yep. I grew up in a Muslim household, right? Yep. Let me hide this white cloth.
Okay, so yeah, let me know if that sound is okay. If not, I will have to do something. But I'm going to continue sharing. Let me know if any issues with the sound in the comments, please.
And I grew up in a traditionally Muslim household. My parents, you know, both speak Arabic, yeah. Came from Sudan here in the 80s, whatever it may be. So obviously, I see the world a certain way, yeah. With men being men, women being women. Yeah. And I notice in a lot of your Tate speeches and everything else like that, me and you have very similar ideals when it comes to the way we view the world and Islam, women, etc. Yeah. And I know that you did a big part of your, I guess, growing up in England, the UK, Luton to be exact, right?
Yeah.
And very big Muslim population.
Yeah.
What are some big takeaways you took from living with Muslims, seeing the lifestyle, seeing the religion?
Cool.
What's your take on that?
Right. So 3 points again. I always have 3 points. If you have a problem with feminism, Islam will fix it. If you have a problem with your wife not obeying you, Islam will fix it. Islam fixes a lot of the problems that men are currently facing. Yeah. The problems.
Okay, it sounds like it's the volume is too low. Okay, 1 second. Let me see. Is there any way for me to make it any louder than that? 1 second. Let me just check the settings here. One moment. Audio automatically adjust mic volume. Everything. I don't think I can do anything else. But it's not loud enough, right? Okay, so let me try this volume booster. I don't think this is gonna work, but
we're discussing
the show. Islam fixes all of them, right? That's the first thing about Islam. And I'm not a Muslim, right? If I had to choose a religion, I would, because I live in an Orthodox Christian country. I go to the Orthodox Christian church. I donate $20,000 a month to the church in the country I live in. The church in Romania is very powerful, and I like having church friends. So I give them a lot of money, right? So I would guess I'm an Orthodox Christian. But if I had to bet on one religion as if I were betting on the stock market for the future, you have to bet on Islam. Because Muslims are intolerant. And I'm not saying that disrespectfully. Because if you're tolerant of everything, then you stand for nothing.
Yeah.
Christians are so tolerant now that you can go to church. These girls will get fucked on a Saturday night and go to church on a Sunday morning and get fucked on Sunday night. And it's all, and it's no big deal, right? So you don't believe it. They have gay pastors that I'm not even anti-gay. But if the book says don't have, like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Okay, I apologize for the language there. And if you couldn't hear it, so I'm just going to read what he said. I'm just going to basically, I don't know if you guys can hear that okay. He's saying that I'm not even anti-gay, but if you... you know, if you stand for nothing, then what do you stand for? The book says it's not allowed. And, you know, Christian women, the like sleeping around. A lot of these channels tend to focus on, it's too cringe already. They tend to focus on controlling women's sexuality. And the focus is, you know, I want my, you know, my woman to be, you know, loyal to me, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But they're trying to use the religion in order to put women in a particular place, right? And he's going to continue and say a few other things. But the one thing I thought that was quite kind of interesting was I'm not even anti-gay, but they have gay pastors. I don't know what the issue is with anyone having gay pastors. Why does his sexuality or her sexuality, what does that have to do with anything? Yes. According to the religion, according to the way some people interpret it. And at the end of the day, you can interpret things however you like in the religion. There's so many different ways to take things. For some reason, even though the Old Testament, the laws of the Old Testament are not important, somehow Christianity still has, some Christian denominations still have an issue with gay marriage. And why is that? Why do they still have an issue with gay marriage? What is it about the Jewish teaching that is still important to this day? And of course, for whatever reason, whether it has to do with identity, you know, this is a Christian identity and a Muslim. With Islam, it's, you know, obviously even more difficult because there's very few gay Muslims. And the ones which are gay, they're basically kicked out of the community completely. They're not accepted in any way whatsoever. Never mind gay imam. Gay imam, we have a long way to go until we have a gay imam, right? And exactly, why would it bother him if he's not anti-gay? Why does he care? I don't know why these channels, red pill channels, specifically have an issue with... I know why they have an issue with feminism, but I don't know why they have an issue with LGBT. Like, why does it bother them? It's like, are they not secure about their own masculinity? What do they need to... Why do they have a problem with other people being gay or not being gay, right? Do they mention men sleeping around at all? No, they don't. They don't mention that at all. It's all about women sleeping around. And just wait and see what else he says. I put on the transcript there, so maybe we can actually read it. It's not totally precise, but maybe it'll help because I know the sound is not loud enough. I do have this volume booster. Hopefully it's a little bit better. I'm going to mute my mic. I'm going to play a little bit more of the clip.
What do you believe in?
You're right, yeah.
If you're tall, if you're tolerant of everything, you stand for nothing. I can walk through.
If you're tolerant, he's saying if you're tolerant of everything, then you stand for nothing. And he's going to talk about now people making fun of Islam or the Prophet or anything like that, and wait and see what he says. And he's talking about tolerance. And okay, actually, let me play a little bit more, and then we can comment on it.
London with a T-shirt saying Jesus is gay, and nothing will happen to me. If I did the same thing with the Islamic Prophet, I'd be dead before I got to the end of the street.
Boom.
So if I said, you know, about the Islamic Prophet, and that actually that's kind of what I mean. That is what some ex-Muslims were trying to do with the Allah is gay campaign. They were trying to normalize saying things like that. I mean, to say that about Muhammad, I think would be even like because Muslims actually are even more defensive of Muhammad than they are of Islam, of Allah even. So you could say this and that about Allah, nothing would happen. But if you said it about Muhammad, that's like you've crossed the line. You're in big trouble if you go that far. He's praising Muslims. Like he said, I would be dead if I said this. I can walk through London with a T-shirt saying Jesus is gay, nothing will happen to me. But if I did the same thing with the Islamic Prophet, I'd be dead before I got down the street. Now, I'm just going to remind people that we're talking about a boxer. So, you know, like this man, this is his career, is like beating people up, so to speak, right? Why is it a good thing that you would kill someone over a perceived slight, over a guy that's dead? And yes, you respect him, but he's not here. Okay, even if he was here, I mean, it comes back to like the whole situation of like, how does it, maybe it upsets you when someone says something like that, but why would that be something that's worth killing over? Why would you praise someone, a community, for attacking and, you know, basically harming people that say something about your religion? it's like, is that a good thing? And you know, why would you give this clown attention? That's a good question. This clip actually is going around on WhatsApp among Muslims. One of my ex-Muslim friends sent it to me, so it's an interesting topic, so I thought it was worth covering it. Okay, so let's continue with the clip. I'm gonna add it back to the stream.
That's how much they believe and respect. And I respect people who stick up for what they believe in. Yeah. It's not about believing in it, I respect them because they believe and they will defend. Muslims are the only people who will defend their religion. They will defend their beliefs. They refuse to be mocked. They refuse to be insulted. And I respect that about them. I respect that. That's an amazing thing about them. Right?
Okay, so before he gets to the next topic, he's saying he respects the fact that they refuse to be insulted. To me, that is not the sign of a great man. A great man is not someone that is someone that refuses to be insulted. To me, a great man or a great woman would be someone that doesn't escalate to violence unnecessarily. Sure, someone could you know, insult you or something like that. And people make videos about me too, making fun of me and stuff like that. I don't really care. I mean, should I be so bothered by it that I take up arms and start a protest and beat them up? And there's no point. Like I don't gain anything from that, right? And how does it hurt me? You know, as they say, sticks and stones, right, may break my bones, but names will never hurt. Like kids say that, it's true. At the end of the day, who cares? I mean, yes, there's going to be people that are going to say things that will offend you. The religious teachings themselves are full of hateful comments as well. Excuse me. So you have to be bigger than a mockery, exactly. At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter, because what someone says is not going to, unless we're talking now about like the things he's saying, which is, oh, why do they allow gay priests and gay pastors? And gay pastors. It's like, oh, that's so terrible. Well, now you've gone into the, you're no longer just saying things, you're actually trying to take away the rights of other people. You've gone to the point where, and that's the difference, right? You've gone past the point of just like making a joke to actually taking away the rights of other people, right? So someone saying he's actually an atheist, he's just saying the idea of God is good to keep societies in order. That's interesting, yeah. So this is kind of like the noble lie. I think Plato's noble lie, the idea that if you don't have God, the society will go into, you know, chaos and plunder and murder and this and that. And in this case, he's doing even more than that. He's saying, you know, we need the religion, right? He's saying, and this comment, anonymous apostate, they don't realize that by attacking over mockery, they're unknowingly drawing publicity and popularity to us those of the mocking, which is true, right? By getting, when Armin Nawabi was making fun of the Hindu deities, they actually made him even more famous, and they blew him up even bigger than before. So, yeah, I apologize for the sound being bad. I do have a way to make the sound better. I'll do it next time. I apologize for that. I'll mute my mic for the next clip.
And the third point is, and I've been all around the world, some of the best countries in the world today are the first world Muslim nations.
Yeah.
Mm, Qatar, you can go to Qatar, you can fall asleep with $1 million on your lap in the middle of the street. Nothing's going to happen to you.
Saudi Arabia as
well.
You
can go to Saudi, nothing will happen to you. You can go to Dubai, UAE, nothing's going to happen to you.
They leave their cars parked with the keys inside.
It's so safe. Yeah.
So if you couldn't hear that properly, he's saying, you know, if you go to Muslim first world Muslim countries, so safe. If you go to Saudi, if you go to Qatar, any of these countries, nothing would happen to you. You will not get, you know, basically no one will steal from you. So, you know, it comes to the point where when you have a country with very harsh laws, there are going to be some benefits in some sense but the problem is there's going to be a lot of injustice. So yes, you may have some of that, may get some of those benefits, but the problem is there's also downsides to it. There's also like you can be beheaded, you can, you know, have your hand cut off. And this is not at all, you know, an academic source. It's Wikipedia. Let me just share it though. Wikipedia, I did look it up quickly just to get an idea. And like I've been to Saudi Arabia for you know, Umrah. And just before I share my screen, so basically I've heard as well that from other Muslims warning me that be careful with your kids in Makkah, in the holiest city in the world, because they can be kidnapped. And they've heard stories of people's kids being kidnapped for money, because there's a lot of, you know, foreigners coming there. There's a lot of big crowds and stuff like that. You know, so it's not at all like that. It's not all rosy, right? There are issues as well. According to this article on Wikipedia, petty theft is a problem, especially in crowded areas. The nation has strict laws prohibiting drug trafficking, and it's a capital crime, right? Despite that, there's still a lot of things going on, including psychedelic drugs and whatever. So there's a, you know, the stats as well. You got to wonder how much of the stats you can believe, the official stats that Saudi Arabia puts up. There's definitely crime there. There's definitely a lot of, you know, things going on underground, alcohol, drugs, people living double lives, right? People, and then if you're a woman, it actually mentions as well that if you're a woman and you mention sexual assault, you end up getting you're the one that ends up getting blamed and charged. For example, in 2009, a 23-year-old woman was sentenced to a year in prison and 100 lashes for adultery after being assaulted by 5 men. In 2007, a 19-year-old victim by 7 men receiving a sentence of 6 months in jail and 200 lashes, right? So you have a situation where the crime rate is low. There's no sexual assault over there because the one that's assaulted cannot even openly admit it. If they go and they complain, they're the ones that get in trouble. right? They're the ones that get charged. They're the ones that go to jail. And, you know, if someone is stealing and, you know, you chop off the hand, how are they supposed to earn a living after that? How does that help the situation? Why not have, you know, a situation where the jail actually helps the people to get better, helps the prisoners to learn some skills, to reform, to not, you know, commit a crime again? How does cutting off a hand improve the situation? It's just a very, you know, it's just a very big hammer that Muhammad came up with to hit people on the head, but it doesn't really solve the problem, right? It doesn't improve the situation for the people living there, because it's still, first of all, it still happens, right? Like if you look at capital punishment, it doesn't prevent crime. The crime still happens. It's just, and on top of it, if you're unfairly charged, you're basically either dead or your hand is cut off and there's no way to undo that, right? I mean, we have examples of people that were unfairly charged before they had DNA evidence. And after the DNA evidence came out, we found out that they weren't responsible for that crime. And, you know, they lived in life, at least they're still alive, right? That's one of the biggest problems of capital punishment, is it's just difficult to, you can't undo it. There's no, you have to have perfect information, which nobody has, right? Nobody has perfect information about what's happening. I'm tempted to try to fix the sound, but I'm worried it's going to go off. So let me, I'll just tell you what he said, because if I do in the middle of the stream, it might go bad. All right. Share my screen again. Continue with the clip. Share screen window. Next time, I think what I'll do is I'll set up a virtual audio cable, which is what I did last time. Virtual. I don't want to mess around with it now in case it messes up. Okay. So share my Chrome tab. Which one is it? Okay, there we go. Okay. Mute my mic.
Wow. Yeah. It's so safe. Women, everyone's married. Every woman obeys her husband. Every single woman has 4, 5, 6 kids. Big families. All the things we're talking about, all the problems we have here, right? They've got none of that. None of it. Because of Islam. Islam keeps society in the role where women obey their man. Women have children. Women have big families. Women are exceptionally happy to do so.
Yes.
Before some Western girl comes in here and runs her mouth, the Islamic women are happier than any fucking thought you're going to see in the club tonight.
They're very true.
They're happy. Society is functioning. Their population is growing.
So he's saying, before I get on to the population, he's going to talk about population pyramids. And yeah, so basically, according to this guy, who's not Muslim, but he is Catholic. Although someone said in the comments he's actually atheist. This guy's view of what the world should be is women, they're having babies for the husband. They're happy to have big families. They're happy to be in the role where they obey the husband. They have, every single woman has 4 or 5 or 6 kids, big families. This is what he wants. And how does he think that this is actually something that women want? Is this like really, this is what women want? Like, I don't think that's what women, maybe some women want that. That's fine. I mean, I have a big family too, but he's kind of generalizing, right? He's kind of generalizing and overgeneralizing and saying women want big families and 4 and 5 and 6 kids. And this is a happy to do this. I guess in his worldview, this is a good thing. It's a good thing for women to be breeders, right? To just have babies. But I think the way I see the world is women are more than just that. Women are more than just moms or potential mothers. Women are also valuable for their own selves, for their own contribution to society, which is not limited to having babies. Women can also do other things in society. I mean, I made a video about a young Muslim girl that she was doing science, and some of her science, I believe, was used in space. I forget which one of the space agencies actually used what she came up with. I mean, that's contribution to society. She, like, imagine telling her, imagine this dude telling her your contribution to society needs to be, and you should be happy for it, it needs to be making babies. And you should be happy about that. And that's your role in society. It's like, geez, like this is, that's how you see the world. I think there's more to it than that. There's more to women than just having babies and breeding. No wonder he supports Islam. Exactly. It's like, this is your worldview, really? Like, it sounds pretty bad to me. It sounds like The Handmaid's Tale. Like, that's what it sounds like. Women are breeding machines. That's what he wants the world to be. You should watch that movie and probably say that's a good regime right there. Look at them. They got the women making the babies first, right?
Growing. In most Western countries, the population is declining.
Yep. Tim Cass was talking about it today. I was talking. Yeah.
Two people have one kid. Doesn't work, right? Two people need to have 3.1 kids because people die, right? People die prematurely, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. So we have population problems in the West. They have none of the population problems. Society is functioning, and that's what society is.
So he's right about the population thing. Well, he made a mistake. He said 3.1 is the replacement rate. The replacement rate, it's called the replacement rate, is actually 2.1. It wouldn't be 3.1. It'd be 2.1 because you have to. So basically, there's a dad and a mom, and they need to have two kids because when the two of them die, you need two to replace two if you want to keep the population stable. I don't know where he got 3.1. And when he's saying there's population problems in the West, he does have a point from demographics in that it's not the West, though. It's all over the world. Even Japan. Japan is not West. It's not a Western country. Japan is going to have a lot of problems because their population is getting older and older. And they don't have immigration. And they don't have kids. So you have a situation where the population, there's no young people to replace the old people. Now, I think it's a little bit short-sighted to say that the only solution is to have more kids. Now, first of all, maybe our economics needs to change. Maybe our economics doesn't need to be based on an ever-growing population. Maybe our economics, maybe there are other solutions to an aging population. For example, robotics. Japan is, the king of robots, right? They have all sorts of, they have like robots to like robot bartenders and self-driving cars, all of that stuff, right? It's just, we got to think, bigger picture. We got to think bigger picture than just women having babies, need to have lots of babies to keep population growing. It's not the end of the world if the population of the earth goes down, right? The population of the earth is going to hit, I believe, estimates are 10 billion, and then it's going to drop because it's already known it's going to drop. Why do we need, we don't need a population of 10. We don't want a population of 10 billion. We're putting so much strain on the earth right now. It's just like, it's awful. It's awful. I have an idea about the sound. I'm going to try something. I'm going to stop sharing the sound. I'm going to try to share the sound from my microphone. Let me know if it's any better. It'll be interesting because I can make it pretty loud now. So let me try making it louder and let's see if that'll actually work. Okay. I'm going to share my screen again and let's see what he has to say about population. Share Chrome tab. King of... And the funny thing is he calls himself the king of toxic masculinity. He's proud about being about being toxic, right? Okay, I'm gonna try something different with the sound. Let me know if the sound is better.
Society starts at the smallest possible group. You have families, and families make a street, and that street makes a village, and that village makes a town, that town makes a city, and that city makes a country. So if it's broken at the very fundamental level, if this family level is broken, then it's broken the whole way up.
Yep, yep.
And that's what's happened in the West. And the first world Islamic countries have none of those problems. So
let me know if this sounds better now. Oh, wow. Okay. Can you imagine? He sounds exactly like an Islamist right now. He sounds like the guy I was debating, Mazin. The West is morally corrupt and depraved, and there's too much, like, women are having sex, too much, like, he's turned into an Islam, like he sounds like an Islamist. The West has all of these problems. Islam has none of these problems. The Muslim world is so great, so superior. What happened to this guy? It's just so sad. It's just so sad. It's just awful. It's I think he would make a good friend. I'm like, the other thing I gotta ask is, why is he not Muslim if he likes Islam so much, right? If he loves Islam and thinks the Muslim world is so great, why are you living in the West? Go live in a Muslim country. It's just like, it's funny. It's funny. They think Islam, which is this like evil authoritarian system that basically controls everything in your life, more or less, especially women. They think this is going to be the solution. And it's not only him. There are many people that convert to Islam thinking that it's going to solve the problems. A lot of them being people that have issues in their own lives, of course. Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Most of these dudes are hypocrites and they don't live the standards they set for women. That's interesting. Yeah, that's a good point. This is an interesting point. Aaron Ra said after his first reading of the Quran, he got the impression Islam was founded for incels. Well, it's definitely founded for men, right? You could say that. And yeah, I guess incels do benefit from the system of Islam because they have all of these control, all of this control over women, right? Anyways, I'm going to continue.
You're going to talk about a belief system that fixes issues. You need to go to Islam.
That'll fix everything. He said that. He said Islam will fix everything. Like, jeepers creepers. Like, Islam is not going to fix everything. It's going to cause a lot more problems. Oh, I would love to have a conversation with this guy about Islam and the problems it causes. I honestly wonder how many of these people know, like, practicing Muslims. Muslims like me. Muslims that were living, you know, their life seriously, not the Muslims he knows at the clubs or something like that. We're talking about like religious, pious Muslims. Does he realize that, like, the downsides of Islam, that the costs, the sacrifices, the things you have to give up, right? So, of course, any sort of strict system is going to have some benefits. But the problem is, like, at what cost? Who are you taking it from? Like, who's paying the price? In this case, the women are paying the price. Women get half the inheritance of men. Women, two female witnesses are needed instead of one male witness for the crime of rape. I mean, she would have to prove that it was not consensual, and otherwise she could be punished, right? All because of the rule where Muhammad, you know, Muhammad's wife was accused of adultery. And so because of that, he came up with the four witnesses rule, right? And I actually have a video on that, which is basically I think it's called the cursing game, the swearing game. Hold on, let me find it. Yeah, the Quranic swearing game. So I'm just going to share this on the screen, on the stream. One second. So in this video, I actually go through the how ridiculous this rule is. And this is actually what Islam has brought to us. Like, one of the things it brought to us is this ridiculous system that, like, because Muhammad's wife was accused of adultery, right? And according to Muhammad, you know, the best way out was to make her innocent. Whether or not she was innocent, we don't know, but this was the solution, right? The solution was, okay, from now on, you cannot accuse anyone of adultery without four male witnesses. And therefore, you guys didn't have four male witnesses of Aisha, so you can't accuse her. Excuse me. And so this, and then one of the companions came up with this ridiculous way of fixing it. I mean, sorry, the companion complained to Muhammad, and Muhammad came up with this ridiculous way of fixing it, which is basically this mutual cursing game that you have to play, right? Yeah, Hisham Malik, this is not the topic we're discussing today. I have a lot of videos on scientific miracles. I mean, that's like, that scientific miracles thing is why I left Islam in the first place. So you might want to like get with the times, buddy. Get with the times. Okay, so let's continue the clip. Share window, king of toxic masculinity. All right, let's hear Andrew Tate again. Oh, actually, these are the other people on the stream.
Half of them is Christian, half is Muslim. Sorry to say this, the half that's Christian, they're all divorced. Yeah. The half that's Muslim, they're still married, yeah, hella kids, yeah, and happy. Yeah. The wives do serve their husband, yep, the kids understand, yep, the roles, and generally they're happy. Yep. You're right on that, 100%.
So I respect...
Okay, wait. Okay, this is like completely ridiculous. He's saying the Christians are all divorced and the Muslims are all still happily married. Dude, do you know Muslims? Like, Muslims are human beings too, and they have just as many divorces as non-Muslims. I know tons of Muslim families that have divorced parents. Tons. It's like, it's ridiculous to try to praise and put Muslims on some pedestal, like, as if they're, like, above the rest of the Christian. Like, what? Like, oh my God. Like, I would love to hear David Wood talk to this guy and, like, is this guy even know any Christians? That's what I'm wondering now. Like, does he know any... All he's saying in his family. So maybe it's just his family. Maybe his family, the half-Muslim side, it's just his family. Maybe you should think about maybe it's just his family. And, you know, Egypt has 50% divorce rate, Sheikh K is saying. Yeah, and the point, you know, the point I'm going to make is that, like, there's nothing wrong with divorce. Like, divorce is not necessarily a bad thing. It's like, it happens, right? It happens. It's part of life. And so when it happens, like, that's okay. I mean, I know in Christianity there's actually a rule that you can't get divorced, and I actually think that's a bad thing. I think it's a bad thing that you can't get divorced in Christianity because it causes problems. You should allow people to get divorced. Maybe you have you're in a bad relationship, and maybe your partner is not good for you. Maybe there's someone else that's better for you. You know what I mean? Like, why be stuck with one person? Whether you're Muslim or Christian or whatever, it's just silly. Like, it's silly to say, like, you know, oh, they have no divorces, they're happy. yeah, the Muslim women, they don't talk back, right? They don't talk back to the husbands. They don't complain. They just suffer in silence. Muslim households have a much higher rate of domestic abuse. I would say this is possible. I mean, I'd love to see the evidence for this, but I would say this is possible because of the Quranic injunction that allows Muslim men to beat their wives. So I know that some Muslim men would use this, and maybe some Christians would use this too. I don't know. I don't know if there's anything like that in Christianity, spanking your wife. I don't know. So basically, you know, the point I'm trying to make is that, yes, there is issues in Muslim families as well. And for those of you who are just joining now, I'm responding to Andrew Tate. He's a boxer. He's on the Fresh and Fit podcast. And can everyone please like the video? If you're enjoying the stream, please do like it. We want to get as many likes as possible so that this YouTube will share this content with other people, other viewers. So do like the video. If you have not liked it, thumbs up the video. Okay, so back to Andrew Tate. Let's see what other nonsense he has to say. All right.
Even though I wouldn't identify as Muslim, I have absolute respect for the ideology, yeah, respect for the mentality.
Whoa.
Respect for the
world. He has a lot of respect for the ideology. Does he know what Islam stands for? Does he realize that Islam is not just about him being, you know, the king of the house? Islam is all about basically Muhammad. It's all about venerating Muhammad, and Allah. But Muhammad is snuck in everywhere. After you say his name is Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I mean, Islam is more about Muhammad than Allah. In every prayer, you mention durood on the Prophet, you know, you're praying for him. You're basically emulating every single thing he did, whether it makes sense or not, right? It is complete worship, basically, of Muhammad. Even the irony is that Muhammad himself said that what the Christians were doing was worship. Even though Muhammad said, the Quran says that they worship the rabbis and monks. So one of the, I think it was Hati, one of the companions came and said, and had a, it wasn't a companion, sorry, one of, there was a non-Muslim that was wearing a cross. And he said to the Prophet, you're wrong. We don't worship the monks and rabbis, right? And he's like, well, when they make something halal, do you obey them in that? And yes. And when they make something haram, do you obey them in that? Yes. And so therefore, that's worship. That's what he said. That's worship, right? So basically, he was saying that Christians are worshiping the monks and rabbis. Let me find the hadith, right? I found it. Okay. Adi bin Hatim. Okay, so can you guys... Oh, no, you can't see. Okay, so I came to the Prophet while I had a cross of gold around my neck. He said, oh, Adi, remove this idol from yourself. Okay, so I guess he was wearing a cross and he was a Muslim, but he was still wearing a cross. And then I heard the Prophet reciting the surah, they took the rabbis and monks as lords besides Allah. And he said, as for them, they did not worship them, but they made something lawful. So basically, oh, this is a weak hadith, but basically the irony is that according to this weak hadith, the same what Muslims are doing is basically worship, right? It's basically worship what Muslims are doing to Muhammad. So when he says he respects the ideology, it's like, geez, like you have absolute respect for the ideology. Like, respect, do you even know what the ideology is? The ideology that people kill basically for defending Muhammad's, it's nuts. Like, it's Islamic supremacy it's like a virus that wants to spread all over the world. And thank you, Ernesto, for the donation. Appreciate it. I'm going to continue sharing the video. Wait, let me just make sure I didn't. Okay.
Respect for the ideology. Yeah. Respect for the mentality. Respect for the warrior aspect of it. I respect
them. They don't play.
You can't insult their shit. But you can insult the church all day. You can make fun of it. There's a fucking show on Netflix about a gay Jesus. That's a joke, right? Ha, ha, ha. And what do the Christians do? Nothing. Yeah. Christianity is a dead religion. If you're a Christian... And I'm saying this as a Christian myself. Christianity is a dead religion, which is...
So he's mad about the gay Jesus thing. He's mad that there was a video on Netflix that had a gay Jesus. And again, what I don't understand, I mean, I do understand, but like what I would... I guess I don't... Like, why does it bother you? If you don't like it, don't watch it. Right? Okay, so someone, someone makes a cartoon making fun of Jesus, right? Like the Holy Grail, right? You know, the movie. You know, it's like Monty Python. Like, if you don't like it, don't watch it. It's not the end of the world that someone made a video making fun of something that maybe you believe in, right? People can make fun of atheism all they want. I don't even care. It's not something that's worth killing people over or getting mad over or even creating drama over. Like, you know, if let them do it, no one's gonna watch it. More people are gonna watch it if you make an issue of it, if you make drama and you draw attention to it, right? It's like you're just gonna make this, you're gonna make it blow up even more. And if this is what you respect, you respect people that would like go violent over, and sometimes it's not even making fun, sometimes it's just, Where do you draw the line? If I say, you know, Muhammad did this and this, excuse me, he killed people for you know, like offending him, am I crossing the line? Is that to you, is that mockery to you? Like, I know that as a Muslim, I was taught that even if you make a joke about a beard, you can be a normal, you're kafir, because you are mocking the signs of Allah, and like a beard or a hijab or something is one of them. So, yeah, viewership. Hey, P, nice to see you again. Viewership and upmanship. Just trying to distract my good friend. Nice to see you too. Yeah, it's just like, this is what you expect. I mean, I guess for a boxer, we shouldn't be surprised. Like, what do boxers respect? People that beat up other people, I guess. It's like, yeah, I'm the man.
It's confined to the history books. It's dying out. Your own Pope. The Pope goes up there and talks LGBTQ shit.
That's crazy. It is
again about the LGBTQ. Why does that matter? Like, why are you so bothered by LGBTQ and the Pope is talking about LGBTQ? The whole thing about LGBTQ is about people's rights, right? That's it. It's no one's trying to make you gay. Are these macho men, do they think that people are trying to make them gay or something? Like, this is like sounding like, Mr. Incel Smiles there. It's starting to sound a lot like that.
Over. That's you don't crazy. Stand for anything. You don't believe in anything. You have no boundaries. You're walked on. You're mocked. You're divorced. Your fucking Christian wife, after taking her to church for 20 years, will fuck the gardener behind your back. The whole thing is a joke. Being a
Does this guy not realize that, like, cheating, adultery happens in Muslim families too? It's like, he's trying to make it sound like Christian women are totally like loose, but Muslims are righteous and like they don't cheat on the husbands or wives. But it's always the women. It's the women are cheating, not the men. No. It's not the Christian men. Oh no. Nothing to do with men. Oh, it's all the women. It's like, you know, it's very incel vibes, isn't it? Like it's there's a lot of male insecurity coming out here. Even though the guy is this macho, tough boxer, it's like he's scared of his woman cheating on him still. Like, despite the fact that he could probably have his pick of partner. Like, he's not, like, you know what I mean? Still, besides that, he's still going on about these Christian women. They're so terrible. They cheat on their husbands. They're screwing the garden. What happened to this guy? How did he end up like this? Why is he so insecure about his sexuality or his partner or Christian women in general? It's just bizarre to me. It's just like, what? Like, do you not trust your partner at all? That you need like religion and the sky daddy to watch them and make them good? Do you not think that, like, in Saudi Arabia, you know how many stories I've heard about, like, women screwing the drivers? It's like, it happens all the time. It's just like, you know, you leave a woman alone. Some of these sheikhs, you know, they're in the 70s. They have like 19-year-old or younger wife. And the, you know, he has like so many wives. What do you think she's doing? Right? You know what I mean? No. Muslim women are, they're all, why do you think Islam has like adultery law in it? Because Muslim women, just like Christian women, just like atheist women, like, there's all of them behave like human beings. And some of them will cheat on their partners. Some of them won't. I can guarantee you the Muslim community has no less cheating than a Christian community or atheist community or any other community, right? I've seen nightclubs, and ironically, I see a lot of Muslim men with white women. Yeah. And probably a lot of white men with Muslim women too. And, you know, there's all sort of, you know, that's how human beings are, right? Like, this is just normal, right? You know what I'm saying? Muhammad was just copying and pasting stories and knowledge of his time from other civilizations. Sure. I would definitely agree with that. Okay. Yeah. Here's another one. Islamic wives, for wives, not cheating at all. Exactly. Like, oh no, it's not dishonesty. I mean, just watch the video I did with Debbie. It's like a legislated cheating. You don't even need permission from your wife. You can just go and get married again, second time, third time, fourth time. It's not at all necessary to tell your wife that you're getting a second wife. Is that not cheating? It is. Even though it's allowed, it's halal. Having a sex slave, that's not cheating. Dude needs to study Islam a little bit more, seriously. How is it cheating when you all know each other? You need permission. You need permission from who do you need permission from? You don't need permission from your wife to get a second wife. You don't need permission from. You don't even need to tell the second wife you have a first wife. Do you know that? Like, it's like crazy. Hold on a second. You don't even need permission from either the first wife or the second wife to get married. It's just ridiculous. It's like having slaves, and you know, none of this is allowed. But apparently, Muslim women are so like this. You can see this guy what he's about. I mean, he's all about one thing, right? Controlling women's sexuality, and it feels like he's very insecure about his relationship. That's what it feels like to me, which is bizarre, right? Considering like he could have his pick of women, but anyways.
Christian now is nothing more than advertising. You're a loser. It's a losing religion because you've lost to Islam. That's the future of religion.
And I'll say this too, real quick.
So he's saying Islam is lost. Christianity is lost to Islam. Islam is winning against Christianity. I guess in terms of birth rates, it is. It is winning in terms of birth rates, right?
Because I've been to Sudan before, and in Egypt, even like poorer Muslim countries still have a pretty low crime rate because the laws are so severe. If you steal,
okay, I don't know if that's true, man. I've been to Egypt. I don't think it's like what you're saying. It's true that, you know, there's it is safe in some ways, but there's like, for example, a lot of sexual assaults happening over there. Honestly, like I lived in Egypt for 6 months. My Muslim friends who lived there were robbed. They were going for Quran class. They were going for Quran class every day at the same time. And someone noticed, oh, look, all these kids are going at the same time for Quran class, Arabic class. And someone broke into the house, took all the money, took all the phones, took all this stuff. And that was the end of it. Like, yes, this is just one example, but you know, this is just hearsay. I'm not looking at the stats. I could look at the stats. I don't think that, you know, I lost my wallet in Egypt and I never got it back. No one gave it back to me. So I don't think that Egypt is any better in terms of crime rate.
A lot of them are still Sharia law. They're gonna cut off your left hand.
Yeah.
So, you know, you steal again, they cut off another limb. It's just like there's very severe consequences to crime. So, you know, it is what it is. And also for all the, you know, angry womenists out there that are watching us, like, oh my God, these two toxically masculine men are together making all these rants. Listen, as women have become more and more progressed, right, with womanism, right, their approval ratings and happiness have gone down as they've made more money, become more free. They become less happy. And one in four women in today's day and age is on some kind of antidepressant.
So, you know, again, he's trying to put this situation with, he's trying to again make it sound like this is, yeah, they're using womanism as a code, I guess, for feminism, because they don't want to, I don't know if it's because they're trying to avoid the algorithms or this is just some code word. I'm guessing he means feminism. I don't know. No, I'm not saying Egypt is bad because I lost my wallet and never got it back. I'm just saying that the crime there happens as much. The crime is there as much as any other country. So I don't think it's true that, you know, it's. Anyways, do you think someone told him there's almost 2 billion Muslims and he just wants to tap the huge Muslim incel market by telling them? It seems like that, right? Like this video clip is going around all over the place. So, and this is another point. China is safe because of all the surveillance, but you want to live there. Exactly. Like this is the point. When it comes to at the end of the day, you know, freedom actually is valuable too. We don't want to live in these dictatorships because we don't want to live in a dictatorship, right? Like some of us, you know, we like alcohol, weed is legal here. There's freedom to protest. Can't protest in the Muslim countries and go to jail. Heck, even Hizb ut-Tahrir is banned in Muslim countries. So is that what you want? Like, is that where you want to live your life? Is that, you know what I mean? This is what you want, then go there. Why are you guys living in, I guess, America, you know, enjoying your freedom, going to clubs and whatever, yet talking shit about all of this freedom, talking shit about all the women here, like, oh, Muslim women are so good, but Muslim men, they're all terrible, you know. Sorry, not Muslim men, all non-Muslim women are terrible. Christians are, oh, these Christians are hoes and this and that. Like, really? Like, give me a break, right? And now he's trying, again, it sounds just like my Islamist friend.
Sadness medication, you know what I'm saying? The antidepressant medication or anxiety. Yeah. So what can you say? The stats show that as they become more liberated, they're less happy. Whereas you go to a country like, let's say, Saudi Arabia, right, where the women are, what's the term? They're like oppressed, but they're happier. Like, you know what I mean?
Wait, what? He's saying Muslim women in Saudi Arabia are happier. Well, why are they protesting then? Why are they fighting for the right to drive? Why are they fighting? Like, you know, does this guy actually know any Muslim women in Saudi Arabia? How many Muslim women had to run away from Saudi Arabia? I mean, I even had a story of these two young girls that basically committed suicide rather than going back because of how bad it is. It's not like what he's saying. How is he? Does he know any Muslim women in Saudi Arabia? He's saying it like, you know, Muslim women in Saudi Arabia are so happy, and the Muslim women and the non-Muslim women in the West are all taking antidepressants, and they're all so miserable and unhappy. Like, you know, it'd be good if they actually had like data. Then, you know, that's one thing. But this is all just like talking off out of the ass. This is like, yeah, Muslims in Saudi Arabia, Muslim women are so happy. Like, he picked the exact worst country for women in the world, pretty much, other than Afghanistan. And he's saying this country is actually, like, Muslim women are happy there. Dude, I don't think you know any Muslim women. Yes, some of them I'm sure are happy, but I'm sure they'd be happier if you gave them more rights. Doesn't mean they'll be less happy. Like, they're trying to make it sound like we got to put women, like, these guys love the control of women so much that they're actually praising Saudi Arabia. Like, can you see how crazy this is? Non-Muslims are praising Saudi because the focus is on women. And like, this whole channel is about women, right? And actually, this is a great point. Like, if Muslim countries are so great, like the, you know, like Saudi, why do Muslims keep migrating to the West? Why do you keep saying Islam is the solution to all the problem? If so, people will be moving to Muslim countries, not the other way around. Exactly. it's kind of like gorillas pounding the chest. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. It sounds like they're just like, yeah, Islam's the best. Yeah. It's like, okay. No, it's not. It's not the best. No one wants to be there. People want to come here. And Australia and New Zealand and all of these countries, because you have more freedom and happiness there, right? You can protest. You can have a union. You can pray five times a day without being arrested and going to jail, like in Egypt. Egypt, for some period of time, this guy told me he was kidnapped by the state because he was praying at the mosque for Fajr, because they were like suspicious that he might be in some terrorist group or something because he's praying five times a day. Dude, I can pray five times a day here. No one will bother me. Like, we have more rights here. The Muslims that I was talking about that were robbed in Egypt, not because they were robbed, but I asked them, I said, would you want to live there? I asked them as a Muslim. And said, no, I like Canada. I said, why do you like Canada? Like, oh, there's so many things here I like. And, you know, I don't want to live there. It's nice to go there and learn Arabic, but they didn't want to live there. So, and I agree. Egypt has its nice things about it. But I love Canada, and I wouldn't want to live there, right? Do you think religion makes people less considerate? I don't know. I don't know about that. Maybe in some ways. In some ways, it makes them more considerate. I mean, many many religious people will do a lot of charity work and stuff for the religious teachings, right? Or on behalf of it. A lot of times, unfortunately, to benefit their own religion. But yeah, I think there are some benefits of being religious for sure. Every study I've seen on the worst countries in the women has shown the bottom 10, excluding the Democratic Republic of Congo, are Islamic states, or Muslim, I guess you mean Muslim countries. Yeah, that is the case. I mean, any sort of human rights calculations on women's rights in most Muslim countries are pretty damn bad. Like you know, and that's not even like debatable. Like, I mean, that's just a fact. Like, women don't have rights in those countries. It's far, far away from the West, right? Over here, you know, they have a lot more rights. Okay, I'm just gonna see what he's talking about now. Is he still talking about Islam? Oh my God, yeah. Okay, yeah. There's more nonsense coming. Let's listen to this.
Because women derive pleasure not from career or making money, but from family, from having children, bro. Yep. Not from making money.
Okay. Wait. Stop right there. Women derive pleasure not from career or making money, but from family, from having children. So, again, huge overgeneralization. Women derive pleasure from all sorts of things, buddy. Women derive pleasure from having families, as do men. Some of them don't some don't want to have kids. Women derive pleasure from working, from having a career. Why not? Why would you say that? Why would you think that women shouldn't have, like, women wouldn't be happy having a career? Dude, all the men I know, all the women I know that work enjoyed working, or they wouldn't work. Or maybe they had to work for some reason. But I mean, what I mean is the ones that are doing well in their careers that are like at certain levels, for example, like project manager, for example, VP, they like what they're doing. They enjoy account managers. You know, I've worked with many women and they love their jobs. They truly do. Now, would they work if they didn't have to? Well, would anyone work if it didn't have to? Would I work if I didn't have to? I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I wouldn't work if I didn't have to. Maybe I'd do something else, right? But at the end of the day, like, work is satisfying, can be satisfying. Work can be satisfying. To just say that, oh, women don't, like, what do you mean women don't? Like, just because of a woman, they don't like what, like, they don't derive pleasure from working? Like, this is just like ass backwards. Not this is just nonsense. This is complete nonsense. It's just ridiculous. It just makes no sense at all. It's like these guys are religious, but they're not religious. It's just embarrassing.
He's happy. Pimpin Ken said, a hoe without instruction is headed for destruction.
Bam, that's hostile.
Yeah, that's true. If you don't, if they don't have a control mechanism over them, women just start making a bunch of dumb choices and end up depressed.
I was like, do I even need to say anything? He just said half of the population of humanity makes dumb decisions and end up if you don't put control over them. I'm facepalming so hard right now. I'm just like... I'm just like stunned. Do these people know any women? Do they have moms? Do they not have moms? Like what? My mom is one of the biggest people that. if he's such a little man, why does he need to wear duck glasses indoors? Oh my God, that's funny. How insecure are these men? Seriously. I respect my mom so much. My mom, she's such a hardworking woman. She, you know, my parents broke up and she raised us. My dad was involved. I'm nothing bad about my dad, but like my mom raised us. Like she mainly had us. She worked. She financially even helped me to buy a house as an adult. Like my mom is such a gem. Like, how can you say? This is so stupid. This is so dumb. But anyways, we're interested in this, how they're going to connect this back to Islam. Just wait.
The Quran says it. If you leave a woman to her own devices, she's going to inherently self-destruct. Yeah. They need that male leadership, bro, because they're dictated by their emotions. You guys can call me.
Okay. The Quran doesn't say that. I don't know what he's talking about. The Quran says if you leave a woman to her own devices, she's going to self-destruct. I'm not sure what he's talking about. I have no idea what he's talking about.
Toxic or whatever you want to say, but even religious says this. Christianity, Judaism, Islam, they all put men as the leaders of the household. Why? Because women, if you left to their own devices, are inherently self-destructive.
I say this all the time.
Okay, this is so stupid. Women, if you left to them to their own self, women are self-destructive if left to their own self devices. Wait, this is craziness. This is like insanity. It depends on the woman and it depends on the man. I think there are some women that make better leaders than men. For a fact, I've seen some husbands that are much more incompetent than the wives. The wives are the financial, you know, responsible financially. The wives are like working, like the wives are better parents than the dad. I know one of my Muslim friends' his dad was a gambling addict and he didn't take care of his family at all. As Shalik says, this is honestly offensive now, man. Self-destructive. Like, yeah, like they're gonna women are inherently self-destructive. Like, what? This the insanity just gets more and more. They're proud of being toxic men. Toxic, the king of toxic masculinity. It's like, wait, what the hell? Like, anyways, let's continue.
When they say about how the patriarchy is invented and all this shit, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just gonna summarize what he's gonna say. He's gonna go on and he's gonna say that every single society is ever run by a man, and the ones that were run by women, you didn't hear about. But there are examples of great women leaders. We know that. Yes, most societies are run by men. But there are many cultures as well that the woman is the one in charge, right? It's not like we humans are more flexible than that. We can adapt. We can, like, yes, most societies you have one man, and even, you know, many of them are polygamous, but there are examples of polyandrous societies, eh? Where you have one woman with multiple men. It happens. It depends on the situation, it depends on the context, right? It depends on the needs of the society there. You can't just, you know, slap one thing on all of humanity and say, oh yeah, well, women are all bad leaders because every single society always had women, men in charge. No, right? And Islam obviously does promote, you know, this thing about the man being in charge. You know, women, men are kowamun over women, the, you know, a rank above and whatever, right? What a disobedient bunch of men. Why is he to banish them from the beds and beat them lightly with a toothbrush? Exactly. It's like, it's so one-sided, right? I'm just going to quickly see if there's anything else he's going to talk about. Oh, okay. And then again, they're talking about women having children again, is how they get happy and societies will fall apart if you put women in charge. Blah blah blah, and I think that's the end of it. Okay, yeah, that's the end of them talking about Islam. So that was it. That was, yeah, like that is, you know, that's like the extreme, I think, of how anti-women someone can get to the point of becoming a lover of Islam, becoming a lover of Muhammad without believing in it, because it gives men a lot of power over women. I mean, this is proof right there that Islam is for men, by men, by men, for men. Like, this just proves it. This just proves, you know, that, and they're so one-sided. You know, it's not that, it's not that there's nothing they're saying that makes sense. I'm sure that some of the things they said do have some truth to it. For example, that, you know, there's more to life than money. That's not what they said, but there's more to life than money, that, you know, having a family can be important to most people because we've evolved to be social creatures and whatever. So it's not enough to just focus on career for men and women, you know. Sure, there's a point there, right? But at the end of the day, you know, they've gone so completely onto one side that they're now loving Islam, which is basically crazy, right? Yeah, and polyandry is extremely rare indeed. I don't think it probably fits in most cases. I agree with you on that. But in general, I'm just saying that we humans are flexible. And there are cases where different things would work for different people. That's why I'm not against polygamy. I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with polyamory either. Like, it's up to people in the relationship, right? As long as it's open and honest. Excuse me. It's all about what works for you and your partner, right? Without being unethical, you know, I don't believe in cheating and dishonesty. You need to treat people the way you want to be treated. But at the end of the day, they have such a naive, you know, and I can be sure this is going to end up on like the Dean show, this clip of them praising Islam. It's just like, you know, it's so one-sided, it's so ridiculous, right? Anyways, so yeah, that's what I wanted to share for today. And thanks for stopping by and watching. I am truly hoping to do a show with Abdullah Gondal tomorrow. So let's make that happen. Hopefully tomorrow night we'll be able to do Abdullah Gondal, and maybe even Apostate Aladdin will be joining us as well. So we'll see how it goes. If I can coordinate a good time for everyone to join, it'll be good. And we'll try to have another Circus of Islam episode, maybe, or something else. Not sure yet. We'll see what it was going to be. And yeah, thanks for joining. If you like the stream, do like it and subscribe if you're new here. And I will see you most likely tomorrow. All right, everyone. Have a good night. Bye. Okay, wait. I just saw this comment. Abdullah, I challenge you to a criticism of Islam that cannot be applied to the Bible. Hisham Malik does realize I'm atheist, doesn't he? Someone needs to tell him that. Maybe someone should let him know that I discriminate against all religions equally. Yes, of course. I know that. Have a good night, or a good day, everyone. Bye.